In the world of fellowships,
and I often think of this as I share the Christianese talk, we who've been raised in the church, we know what the different words mean. Sometimes they lose even their meaning, I guess, but think of the world that people who come to us who don't know those words. So we have to be very careful as communicators, either in your private life or even in the fellowship, to communicate what it is we're trying to say. Not everybody knows Christianese talk. One of those words is elders, and our lead elder, our chief elder, is coming at this time to share with us.
I don't take, I feel bad what I'm going to have to do in right now for something has happened back in the 13th. That's they bored me, bored at a meeting. And it went very well when they broke, went from there, they no problem. But Matt Antonich went to Nadine and asked her to write a letter stating that the board had fired him and that he was resigning as on April 3rd. Nadine told him to write the letter as he had not been fired or mistreated at the board meeting. On Sunday, April 15th, Matt was out here talking to everybody that he could that we had fired him and wanted him to go leave. But this was all lies. Not one word that he said and is telling was made up by him and not the board. The board never said one word about firing or doing anything to him. It was all he that wrote and got into that problem. I feel that to protect the church and have since accepted his it's hard sometimes to catch my words, but anyway, when I come back from Washington, two o'clock on Sunday, and my phone was ringing, and they told me about Matt out of here in the office that I'm building and outside, telling you about all the bad things he had to go through or whatever. I never heard him, but the people that tell me. In fact, is my one daughter walked into a business place, and the man in there says, "What about this man that you put out of the church?" She didn't even know anything about it, but he was spelling that. I want to emphasize. Not one word that he says about persecuting him come from him, because none of us made any speech at all. The board did not talk about him, or they never wanted to fire him, but Nadine did the right thing to tell him to write his own. But 5 o'clock Wednesday night, I decided we should take his offer you say something. Thank you. You know, I feel so embarrassed when I talk, because my mind goes one way and my mouth goes the other. But what I want to say to you, he never had a right word to say in all the things he was talking about. You understand what I'm saying? You've got a good board. There, they do the job. But I think I will say this. I think for 5 years now, he has been trying to get to be the pastor of the church. And I feel for him. My heart goes out to him. I love that man. I like to be having him around. But you cannot trust a man who will lie and point a finger at somebody that's innocent. I'm praying for him that God will pull him up, bro, and break that thing that's in his heart. So I hope that you'll understand that we can continue on in the direction God is leading us. Amen. I feel in my heart for months and years, God wanted a strong church at Belt, because all the people around here had not had a good church. So be in prayer. And if you saw it when you're in your prayers, pray for Matt. But I'm not going to answer any questions. I think you understand. I talked to Everett the other day. Matt had gotten to him before I did. But Everett said that I did the right thing, and he is behind the board. I'd like to have you play that song, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, because that's what all of us need to do. I'm not going to be the best. Thank you.
And the
And we do join our hearts, Lord, in praying for Matt and Bonnie at this time. Most of us who've been in church life have gone through a lot of different changes, and I believe that it is to the benefit of even Matt and Bonnie and the redirection that you are doing, Lord, in their lives. And we know that the giftings that they have are plentiful, and that the strength message that comes from Brother Matt, the service from Bonnie, we know that there is a world out there in great need of their ministry, and we know that you are leading and will lead them to a place of fruition. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in a world of churches, thank you, Renee, that have a lot of different, again, Christian talk, this church has a lot of different titles and stuff. Very simply, Harry is our lead elder. Very simply, I am the pastor of the church. And there's only one pastor of the church at this point. That's me. Harry's our lead elder. And there may be other pastors and other associates and assistants. But you know the strength of the church is in its body, not in a high-powered speaker or whatever. It's in the body. That's where the strength of every fellowship is found, as the body steps up. And we're so grateful for all of you who have stepped up and give of your gifting, what your gifting is, who you are, how you do it. And one of the great gifts we have here, and we'll hear more for her from her on Mother's Day, and she just loves to come up in front of people. Phyllis is coming at this time with just a brief announcement, if you would come, please. Phyllis is our new director of the daycare.
Thank you. I just want to tell you that the daycare is doing absolutely amazing. It is got 27 children on the roster. Every day we have from 15 to 18 children. We have a full baby room facility, and we teach the children Bible. Kids are going home and asking their mamas and daddies to pray before dinner and won't let their parents eat till they do. And that's a wonderful thing. So I just want you to know that we are up and going, and we are strong, and it is beautiful and wonderful. Thank you.
That's good warm-up for Mother's Day. Did I hear that 52 children have come through your family? Did I hear that number right? 152. But who's counting, right? Yeah. Well, God bless you. We'll anticipate more sharing on Mother's Day. Dana's come at this time. We have a need to cover all the bases. Thanks for sharing, Dana. and one of the bases is visitation. We know that we have people in Bell, all over this area, in Great Falls, and Dana's coming to share about that this time.
Well, actually, he just said what I was going to say. So following up with that, at the end of the service, I will be in the fellowship hall for if you have anybody who is in the hospital, nursing home, at their own house, sick, just need a friend, give me the name, and then I will go and visit with them after we get the list. Thank you.
Basically, a church that depends on just one or two people to do the visiting is in trouble anyhow. I don't care how big the church is or how small. We need to have our ears open, our eyes open, but a lot of things can fall through the cracks, so communicate, please. When you see Dana out here, communicate to her. She will communicate to me, and we will work it out, but we will cover and minister and solicit many of you to do sharing and visiting as the Lord leads you to do so. Donna's coming at this time.
As of May 9th, we are having a baccalaureate here at the church. It is our congregation's turn to host this for the graduating seniors. This is a celebrating them into the world. And so this is your open invitation at this point in time to be here, to celebrate them and to encourage them to go out into the world. The other thing is that one things that we will, or some of the things we're going to be needing are going to be salads and desserts provided by the congregation. So that was a good segue into getting the desserts and salads, don't you think? But so that's May 9th. It is a Wednesday, and it's at 6:30. Okay. Thank you.
Donna has... Thank you. Donna has stepped up to... We were going to meet, but we're making great progress. We now have protocol. We know who's coming. We know where we're going. We know everything. But those of you that are associated with this, please stay in touch with Donna. And Donna has not only agreed to get the protocol, but to be the master of ceremonies, but she actually will be speaking. She will be the baccalaureate speaker. And she is a Belt High graduate, a professional, and an on-fire Christian, and you can't ask for anything more, unless maybe a CMR graduate. Oh, and Renee missed it. I hate it when that happens. Okay, deep breath, everybody, please. That's good that when we take deep breaths. Huh? Does that help? Yeah. Pastor Joe Fox is coming at this time to share the word, and would you warmly welcome him as well?
I feel like I'm at a press conference. What's that? It's always good to be here. Everyone here okay in the back row? Okay. Today I want to talk to you about the great love of the Father in heaven. I want to talk to you about a message called Gifts from the Father. Most of what I share today should be nothing new to you, but I believe the context of understanding his heart, I put this together. We're going to start in Isaiah 43 today. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, most of this message will be from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. A little bit of the New King James will probably is in here, I think, but Isaiah 43, beginning with the first verse, says, "But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name, or by name, and you are mine. We are His." We were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. We are His. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will be scorched, will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, I love you. I will give other men in your place, other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. It says that he formed us, he redeemed us, he calls us by name, we are his. Kleenex. When we go through the trials of life, that's not used, is it? When we go through the trials of life, he will see us through. He has saved his people at the expense of other nations. We are precious in his sight. He loves us and honors us. What do you do for people you love? One of the things you do is you give them gifts. And today I'm going to talk about the gifts of the Father. The Father's given us many gifts. I want to focus on a few today. First one, of course, the greatest gift he could give, the church, is his Son. Romans 6:23 says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we say that, we've just been through an Easter. When we say that, we think, you know, I don't think we think about what that really means, because he didn't just die for us. He was tortured for us. If you understand the scourging that was given, 40 lashes minus one, I think in the Romans didn't even stop at 40. They were cruel. They were brutal. The whips that they used, the tongs had many times broken bones tied into it, sharp broken bones, rocks and things. And so when those lashes came, they tore flesh. And in some cases, the people died just from the scourging. And in the back, there was no skin left on it. And then the cross. Many years ago, I read an account by a doctor about what he went through from a physician's perspective. It was brutal. But he did that because he loved us. One of the hardest things verses for me is that in Isaiah 53, where it talks about by his stripes we're healed and that he was bruised for our iniquity and so forth, it says, but the Lord, the Father, was pleased to crush him and put him to grief. It hurts my heart. But the Father loves you enough to give his only Son. You are precious in his sight. By this, the love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And because of that, who are we? In the book of 1 Peter, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. To realize how great this love is that the Father has for us, we need only realize that he calls us his bride. We are the bride of Christ. That is so sweet. In Revelations, the 21st chapter says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there no longer is any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Of course, the husband is Christ, the Lamb, but the bride is the New Jerusalem. In other words, Christ's bride is the redeemed inhabitants of the holy city. That's our future. Second gift, I want to talk about, is the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" That's the promise, baptism of the Spirit. Down in verse 8 it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, even to the remote part of the earth." He said to wait for the promise. You will receive power for the promise. Now, the remote part of the earth is for you, wherever you're going tomorrow. Right? And you're to be witnesses for him. Jesus came to make us in right standing with God. The Holy Spirit came to make us able to live righteously and manifest the power of God. The next chapter, in Acts, it says the Holy Spirit comes. Peter stands up and preaches. And then some of them say, "Well, what do we do?" In verse 38 of Acts 2, Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, baptism of the Spirit, is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." I would guess from where this was written, we're afar off. So what's that saying? It's saying is that the gift is for everyone, for every place, for every era, now, today, as well as it was then. Third thing I want to talk about is the gift of his word. In John 17, Jesus said, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world." You know that believing in the word can get you in trouble with the world? Oh, absolutely. People are being martyred all over the world right now because they believe in the word. And God has given us this word, a lamp to our feet, to lead us and guide us. You know, it said, I heard many years ago, it said, if you have just the Spirit, you'll blow up. If you have just the word, you'll dry up. But if you have the word in the Spirit, you'll grow up. But we need that all. Many of our troubles, though, come because we base our choices on reliable authorities, like culture. Everybody's doing it. Boy, that'll get you in trouble. That'll get you in trouble not with the world, but with God. Keeping up with the Joneses. What's the latest fad? Something else that may touch our hearts a little bit. Tradition. Well, we've always done it this way. You know that God is an unmoving God. The truth is ongoing. You want to know if you want to see a picture, I guess, of the onward progression word of God, look at the denominations. Every time there was a new move of God, a new word, we had a new denomination. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, "You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions." Ooh, that hurts. Later on in that same chapter, he said, in making the word of God of no effect through your tradition. Traditions are something that just kind of happen sometimes. The story that I heard years ago is about a young lady, had her family over for dinner. She was cooking, and so she got this ham out, set it on the counter, cut the end of it off, put it in the pot. She stopped and she thought and she looked at her mom and she said, why do we cut the end of the ham off before we put it in the pot? She said, well, I don't know. Your grandma always did it that way. So she went to her grandma. She said, grandma, how come when we cook a ham, we cut the end of it off? She said, well, I don't know why you do it, but I had too small of a pot. That can be tradition. Now, traditions can be very important to us. And some of the traditions that we honor, the holidays and so forth, have meaning to us. But not all traditions have meaning. And we need to understand, follow the Spirit, and see where God is leading us. Another one of the unreliable authorities is reason. Well, that seems logical. Or is that logical? Or I don't know if that is logical. But you know, sometimes God is not reasonable. One of the first prophecies I received by a man named Don Morrison and in a GLOW meeting in Great Falls at the Ursun Center in about 1974, Terry and I, we were called for it. Prophet would come in, Bob Terrell, and at that time Don Morrison. People would come hundreds of miles to hear the prophet talk back in the early years of the charismatic movement. And then everybody would sit there, and on one hand, didn't want him to mention them, but on the other hand, wanted a word. And so you sat there all night while this, after the message was given and the prophet spoke, and we're thinking, yeah, I hope he says something. Well, I hope he doesn't say something. Anyway, one of the things he brought us up, and he said a number of things. One of the things he told me, he said, God's going to take that reasonable thing in you out of you, so that you'll believe and obey him rather than your own intellect. Now, I'm not against reason. I think we need to have reason, kind of like common sense. Of course, common sense isn't common anymore, but... And one of the big ones is called emotion. It just feels right. Or if it feels good, do it. Political correctness, feelings. One of the biggest issues we have in our nation is we're trying to live by feeling instead of by principle. And so feelings are so changeable. Feelings will lie to you. Feelings will change. Principles don't. We're teaching a whole generation to go by their feelings instead of by what's right and wrong. We're not teaching them to honor. We're not teaching them to respect anything. We're teaching teenagers that in their short amount of years know better than people that have been around for 40, 50 years. We're teaching them that their ideas going against anything that used to be, was it said when we were growing up, it was, don't trust anybody over 40. Well, that changed. But the reason these things are flawed is because they come from within us instead of from God. The Bible is the only standard that will never lead us in the wrong direction. In 1 John, it's written, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. By this we know we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought to himself to walk in the same manner he walked. The next gift I want to talk about is ministry. Ephesians 4, 7 and 8, it says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," it says, "when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Skip down to verse 10, and it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies." Joints are relationships. "According to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So these gifts are given. Ministry that equips us to function in our gifting, learning to be proficient in his grace. As we function, we are to edify the church, his wife, his love. What we do is for his bride. When we minister to one another, we minister to that which God loves. To bring us to the unity of faith. Doctrine, but faith. In Psalm 133, beautiful psalm, says that unity is where the Lord commands the blessing. Life evermore. Ministry is here to join us together to know the Father. To be mature. That word mature is the Greek word telesos, meaning having to reach its end, or to be complete, or perfect. The King James Version says to be perfect. But the teaching we receive should cause us to grow up, not just make us feel good. We don't come here just to be entertained, we come here to worship God. It is enjoyable, though. But it should be instructional. Ministry is given to stabilize us in our faith, so we're not led astray by those who would manipulate us for their own gain. To lovingly speak truth to us as adults, so we can mature in Jesus. So the church can function as one. To nourish every part and cause it to grow up because it cares for and loves the bride and her husband. And one last thing I want to talk about is the gift of elders. The Bible doesn't call elders as gifts as it does the ministry gifts in Ephesians 4, although oftentimes, usually, they're the same people. Ministry is one thing, eldership is another. One has to do, of course, with ministry. The other has to do with governmental leaders. There is a difference. It's important. Remember, Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. Jesus came to establish a kingdom, a government. First thing we need to remember is that elders are called by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 20, it says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So elders are called to shepherd the church. In 1 Peter 5, it says, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. I noticed, I think it was yesterday, I was going through this, it says, witness of the sufferings of Christ. And I thought, elders must understand the enormous responsibility they have to the Lord because of how precious the church is to him. We just read, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It says to exercise oversight. An overseer sees over. That's profound, isn't it?
Yes.
God will give the elder the insights for the responsibilities they have to rule. With that responsibility also comes the authority. All authority comes from God. We'll talk about that in just a second. An elder must be willing to lead the church, giving spiritual oversight according to the leading of God. Do it as Christ gives you direction and not according to your own agenda. You don't lead just by word, but by example. How do you think the Lord would want you to treat his bride? Have to realize that whenever we minister, not just prophets, but God holds you accountable for what you say. God holds you accountable for how you rule your own lives, and elders to rule the church. If they do a good job, it says, when the chief shepherd comes, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So, how do we relate to elders? Continuing on in 1 Peter, the next verse, verse 5, says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In fact, how do we relate to all leaders? Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. As those who will give an account, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. Now, we live in a society that is so self-centered that the word submission is such a bad, bad name, a word. But biblically, godly submission is a very good word. But in our society, it's all about me, my wants, my desires, my ideas, my feelings. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to put me in bondage. Submission to godly authority is not bondage. It's actually freedom. Having someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth. We all need that, don't we? Need someone that we can go to, that we can trust that they'll tell us the truth. It's freeing. It's very freeing. When I was younger, being discipled, traveled with my mentor, my pastor, drove his car, carried his Bible, served him like Elisha did Elijah for years. And as Jesus said, he said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friend. He wasn't just my pastor, he was my friend. I have a home group that I've led for 30, 40 years. People in that group, Gary remembers years ago, When we were younger, we did a lot of discipling, training, teaching. I don't train or teach these people that are with me now. Probably know more than I do. They certainly know everything I do, and then they know what they know. I don't disciple them. I just shepherd them. I just pastor them. I just care for them. I just love them. As we talked about our wants, our ideas, our feelings come out of us, the problem with them is they lie to us. They're a part of our souls, your mind, your will, and your emotions. We just read that the good news is God has given us gifts to watch for our souls. Obey that your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. That's wonderful. God gives, and here we get back to this, God gives overseers insight to oversee. When you submit to any godly authority, God honors that faith. That's what it takes, is faith. Faith in God. Still another person, still human, they still make mistakes, but they are held accountable at a greater degree for the decisions they make, for the leading, for the words they speak. Their heart is with their people. You saw an elder today with his heart sad, broken. To be a leader isn't always a fun thing to do. There's always some place of responsibility that they're accountable for. As we honor God by submitting to delegated authority, we give the freedom to God to speak to them on our behalf. They give us the word we need because we've submitted to that, hear it. So God is faithful to give it to them, to give it to us. Romans 13 says that every person or every soul is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established or ordained by God. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Then do what's good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a ministry of God to you for good. Do you realize that when you get pulled over for speeding, that officer is a minister of God to you? Godly leaders must give an account to God, and it is profitable to you if they give it a good one, if they do it with joy. Think about that. You want the profitability of God in your life? Then submit to God's authority where you find it. Police officer, pastor, wherever. In Isaiah 27, this is something that came to me this morning. It says, I'll read it to you, in that day the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. Verse 2, in that day a vineyard of wine, sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone damage it. I guard it night and day. The song, actually, I thought about having Gary sing it or lead it today, but I don't know if he even has what he needs to. It's been a long time since you played that song, In That Day, A Vineyard.
But it says that God will guard his vineyard, the church, the picture of the church in the Old Testament. He will guard it. He will water it. He will care for it. He will guard it night and day. Now, Leviathan is what? If we go back to Job 41, Leviathan, if we read all through that, I don't want to get into it. Let me just say, if you read Job 41, you'll find that Leviathan speaks of self-love. One of the things that God deals with in his church is self-love in every one of us. God will protect the church from you. Well, that's enough of that. In conclusion, the bottom line I'm trying to share with you today is the church is precious to the Father. He has given his bride gifts for it to prosper. Be careful how you handle it. He's a jealous father, husband, and friend. Would you all stand? Let's pray. Father, we know where your heart is this morning. It's with your bride. Your love and generosity are without equal. We thank you for the gifts you've given us. You have redeemed us by the blood of your Son and empowered us with your Holy Spirit. Your word is a lamp to our feet. You have given us leaders. You've anointed to serve and minister to us, to give us oversight and lead us by example. And you put the love of God in their hearts for us. Today, I ask that you bless the church in Belt, wherever it meets, and especially those who meet here in this fellowship. Show them that your mercies are new every morning, your grace is sufficient for the day, your love endures forever, and your provision for them is sure. And especially, we ask you to bless those you've given to watch over us. Bless those who lead us, minister to us, serve us, and give us spiritual covering. We thank you for their willingness to stand in the gap as priests and prophets before you. Grant them continued grace to fulfill their callings and shepherd this flock allotted to their charge. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you bless Brother Joel for ministry?
Thank you. We're going to sing Thy Loving Kindness, and then we'll go on our way. Can I say this, however, that after we dismiss and you go to the restroom and coffee and stuff, if you have questions about the changes in the church, you'd like to meet back here with myself and the elders, we will visit with you at that time. Not a good idea to mix up business stuff with worship time, because the Lord is a jealous God. Thy Loving Kindness, sing it. Thy Loving